I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Welcome to this special edition of the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse's on his way out for the Spiritual Warfare Conference that's taking place tomorrow at St. Christopher's Church. And if you want to come, there's still room. You can call 877-526-2151. I call this a special show because Matt Arnold's not with me today. I have Father Charles Murr, our good friend up in the San Francisco area. Father Murr, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Greetings, Terry. How you doing?
I'm too blessed to be stressed, Father, and I'm too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, I'd be a billionaire. I'm just thanking you for joining us because we have a very interesting topic that we're going to talk about. It's about falling out of love, but most important, how to fall back into love. We know that that's probably the biggest problem in the world today, and that is understanding what true love is. But before we do that, we always take the scripture readings from Holy Mass and talk about the daily readings. So, Father, I'd like to ask you, since you're our priest, to give us a little catechesis on Luke chapter 5, verse 12 to 16. Could you read that gospel verse for us?
A pleasure. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And with your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
It happened that there was a man full of leprosy in one of the towns where Jesus was. And when he saw Jesus, he fell prostrate, pleaded with him, and said, "Lord, if you wish, you can make me clean." Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, "I do will it. Be made clean." And the leprosy left him immediately. Then Jesus ordered him not to tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed. That will be proof for them. The report about him spread all the more, and great crowds assembled to listen to him and to be cured of their ailments. But he would withdraw to deserted places to pray. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Wow. Well, tell us, Father, what's going on here?
A few things.
Yeah.
A few things, I think.
Okay.
My take on it is first of all, I think the leprosy.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all know what leprosy is, right?
Yes, of course.
Very, very horrible disease. There are still leper colonies today in the world.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I went to one of them in Mexico many years ago. It's an incredible disease. It takes your attention. It grabs your attention. I'll tell you that.
I bet.
People without fingers being eaten away and rotting. It's bad, 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 bad. So this man, a leper, who is, I like the term that the Jews have for them, unclean.
Mm-hmm.
He's unclean. Pleads with Christ for a miracle. And Jesus gives him that miracle. He says, if you will it, the man says, if you would, you could cure me. And our Lord says, I do will it. And it says the leprosy left him immediately. That leprosy is a symbol, an outward sign of sin.
Amen.
Okay.
Yep.
It's what we're doing is Christ is drawing the comparison, using this to show also the curing of the sinful state into a healthy state. Okay. But and I think every once in a while when I come to this part of the gospel, Terry.
Yes.
It's when our Lord does a miracle, performs a miracle. And then he tells the person, the recipient of the miracle, don't say anything.
Right.
I love that. I love it because I might be wrong. At yeah. this might be the gospel according to Father Murray.
Yeah.
But you have to be careful of that. But just my opinion, I can see our Lord tongue in cheek.
Oh, yeah.
I can see him tongue in cheek many times saying, it's time for this to be known that I am the one who is sent. So I'll tell them not to say anything. It's almost like using a child psychology.
Right.
Tell a child not to do something and he will.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, and it says the news of this miracle spread throughout the whole region. Of course it did. Of course it did. This is also connected, I think, with the another cure of the lepers. There were 10 lepers. Mm-hmm. This is one particular. But it also goes into the other Gospels of the cure of the 10 lepers.
Yes.
And we know that story. I use that often because I think it's very powerful. Our Lord cures 10. One comes back who's a Samaritan, I believe.
Right.
And then says thank you. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
Words, thank you.
One
thank
out of
you.
10. Yeah.
Sure. A little bit of gratitude. Sometimes in life, it's gone so ill for me that I think, I don't know what our Lord is complaining about. He got a 10% return.
Yeah, really.
That's something.
Yeah.
That's something, right?
Right.
At least one in 10 came back. We can't do, the Christian can't do anything for recompense, human recompense, for thanks here, because you're not going to get it here.
Right.
This is why God, who sees everything, will reward on the day of justice. You know, that's it. But I think that's kind of my take on the gospel. And
good.
You tell me, what do you think?
No, what you said about sin, I think leprosy, yeah, I think that was the connection I got, was big for me. And again, how do we become clean? We go to confession. And I think that sometimes in our world today, we, you know, like Fulton Sheen has said, I'm going to give a quote by Bishop Sheen a little later in the show. And he has this comment about that sometimes I think we think we're all immaculately conceived because nobody's going to confession. So I don't let a show go by without encouraging people to go to that great sacrament and be cleaned. And so that's
Absolutely.
You know something I got out of that. But let's bring Bishop Sheen into the room if we can. And if he can't get on that train, then I'm going to tell him to get on a bicycle because I don't think we're going to get the whistle in. But I want to just say this because we're going to be talking about true love and we're going to be talking about what happened in China and Cardinal Zen. Listen to what Bishop Sheen's quote is and see if it just doesn't fit for our show today. Bishop Sheen says this, if you do not live what you believe, you will end up believing what you live. Father, you've heard that quote from Fulton Sheen. Doesn't that make sense?
Of course it does. Of course it does. And it's beautiful. It's mm-hmm. beautiful. It's very concise, and it does it just. Sheen does this all the time. He hits it right on the head and says it in a way that gives you just a little bit of smile because of its cleverness, because it's so beautiful.
Amen, Father. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about first Cardinal Zen. I'll set the stage. He urged all cardinals to stop the murder of the church in China. I said, wait a minute, what are cardinals got to do with the church in China? And well, His Eminence basically is doing this. He's a leading voice in the persecuted Catholics in China, and he sent a letter to the College of Cardinals. These are the people who hopefully are the ones who are giving advice to the Pope, and he's imploring them to denounce the recent agreement the Vatican signed with the Chinese atheistic communist government. Yeah, I said it. An agreement that the Vatican signed. And here's the kicker, Father Charles. That agreement has never been public. So even Cardinal Zen, who is, you know, the 87-year-old bishop emeritus of Hong Kong, he's asking, why can't I see this agreement? And I think that's a reasonable thing. He actually gave his brother cardinals several dubious a question. Then he gave it to Pope Francis in July of this year, or last year, July 2019, following the Vatican's June release of the new guidelines concerning civil registration of clergy in China. Now, this dubia, they were published on LifeSite News, so you can read that. But in his notes, the Pope Here's what he's saying. Cardinal Zen notes that the Pope continues silence despite expressing initial interest in the Cardinal's analysis of the document. And, you know, Cardinal Zen could be quiet right now. He cannot say anything. But I think in this letter, he said, my heart goes out to my people because we think what's happening, Father Murr, is they're getting a bad deal. We're dealing with atheistic communist country, and the persecution is only going up, not going down in China. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. And then, Father, maybe you've had some contact with priests from China. I have, and I want to get your take on this deal, so to speak, that it's not public, but it tells us something about the agreement. Vatican is allowing the church in China to pick their own bishops, and what we call like patriotic church, which is like a national church, but the church underground that's been underground for, 60 years, 70 years, mm-hmm. Has been persecuted. I've met priests that have had branding on their legs and on their arm because they would not succumb to atheistic communism and go along with the patriotic church. So can you imagine what the people are feeling like? They've been betrayed. And I understand that, Father, and I'm being quite frank about it. I think that we need to pray for the church in China. And when we come back, we'll just talk a little bit more about that. And then we're going to get to our real topic, which is falling out of love, and most importantly, how to fall back into love with Father Charles Murr. Folks, if you haven't called in to get your registration, I think we're going to have 500 people coming to the Spiritual Warfare Conference. There's still room for you. Call 877-526-2151. Or, no, you can't go online. You got to call 877-526-2151. The registration's shut down online, but we'll get you in if you call in. We come back with Father Charles Murr on the Terry Barber and Jesse Show, the Terry and Jesse Show. We'll be back with much more right after this.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Jesse Romero. Join me on a pilgrimage of faith and discovery to Poland for the 100th year anniversary of the birth of St. John Paul II in May of 2020. Together, we'll experience the faith, beauty, and culture of Poland and become imbibed with the spirit of John Paul II. We'll visit the town of Wadowice, where John Paul was born, and the city of Krakow, where he was ordained and later became bishop. We'll also travel to Jasna Góra and visit Our Lady of Częstochowa, and we'll have a chance to venerate the original image of the merciful Jesus at St. Faustina's convent and the city that St. Maximilian Kolbe built for the Immaculata. Finally, we'll pay a visit to Auschwitz, where St. Maximilian Kolbe was martyred. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to worship and discover your own faith at places where St. John Paul II grew in his own love for our Lord. For more information or how to join this pilgrimage, visit my website at jesseromero.com.
Sirach 11:24 says, "Do not say, I am self-sufficient. What harm can come to me now?" According to St. Catherine of Siena, presumption is like vermin burrowing at the root of the tree of our soul. If we do not uproot it with great care and humility, it will eventually destroy the soul. May God keep us from all presumption of mind and heart, and realize that we depend on Him for everything.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Actually, it's Terry and Father Charles Murr, my good friend. And we are talking about Cardinal Zen, who's urging cardinals to stop the murder of the church in China. That's strong language from the cardinal. He's 87 years old. I guess he figures, Father Murr, that he's going to be meeting God, and he probably thinks he better speak his mind and not hold back and not be bold, not be shy about this because of him being a shepherd for his flock. Father, I want to ask you this question. Cardinal Zen said that, first of all, I can't believe that there's such a statement in the agreement, that, and I do not see it in there. By the way, why must such an agreement be secret? He's asking, why can't the public know? Why is it not granted even to me, a cardinal, a Chinese cardinal, to see this agreement? But even more clearly, the whole reality that after signing the agreement shows that nothing has changed. And he mentions Cardinal Perron quotes a sentence from Pope Benedict's letter completely out of context. He's really being critical, indeed, diametrically opposed to the whole paragraph. The multiplication of the Pope's emeritus thought is gravely disrespectful, indeed, deplorable, an insult to a person of such meek Pope who still is alive. So in other words, he's saying that it's an insult to Benedict the 16th. They're trying to say he had that same position. So here's my question. You're a good priest. You want to be objective. What do you think of that situation that's going on in China? What's your take on it?
How about if I begin by using the word outrageous?
Okay, that's a fair statement. That's a fair word. It is outrageous.
Yeah, it's outrageous. It's outrageous. You know, when you sit down with anyone, even in business, to calculate, I learned this from my dad in business, you have to surmise, you have to figure out who you're talking to. Yeah. You have to know who you're talking to, the man or the woman you're speaking to, where he or she is coming from.
Right.
Then you start negotiating, right?
Sure.
Well, if you sit down with atheistic communists, there should be an exclamation point right over, as in a bubble, in a cartoon bubble, right over the head of the of all parties in this conversation. Mm-hmm. Beware, beware. This is amazing to me that you can sit down with these people. And actually what the Vatican came to was in simple terms. They gave permission to the atheistic communist government of China to be able to name, to name, nominate the new bishops in China.
Terrible.
This is outrageous. I mean, it's outrageous.
Yeah.
Look, during our 20 centuries of history, of Catholic history, we have had all sorts of arrangements with all sorts of governments, particularly the government of France in recent times after the French Revolution.
Oh, yeah.
One of the things that the Masonic government insisted upon was their ability to name bishops. Mm-hmm. The Masonic government of France, they would name the bishops of France.
Wow.
Right. Exactly. Wow. And this was something that all leaders of the world with a substantial Catholic population coveted this, because they thought if they could control the bishops,
of course,
they can control the Catholic population, which, of course, in great part, they can.
Yep.
Now, nobody protested that with the communists. Nobody protested that with the Masons. Not at all. Where did they protest it from? The liberals protested this when this was a privilege given to such as Spain, Catholic Spain.
And why is that?
You'll remember that, that Franco, General Franco, also had a privilege given to him by the Holy See, given to him by the Vatican, to be able to name bishops with the approval of the Catholic Church. He didn't just name them that's the way they were.
Right.
That was protested by all of the liberals that we have in the clergy and in the Vatican. That was protested. We couldn't stand that. But to give this now to communists who are atheists and looking to destroy the church, this is unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, very, very sad. Well, Father, I just want to quote a saint, Pope St. Gregory the Great. He said, it's better that scandals arise than truth be suppressed. And the truth is, this was a bad deal and that the church is being persecuted. But I will quote Bishop Robert Barron. He says, It's a sign of a corrupt church that stops thinking deeply about the truths of Christianity. A church that is against being precise about its teaching is a corrupt church. Now, I didn't say that, Father Charles. I just happen to agree with my local ordinary here in Los Angeles, because right now we're living in times where things aren't very clear, and we need to be clear. And what happens, I think you know, Monsignor George Kelly wrote a book called The Battle for the American Church, where he said, where's the church going, where its leaders take them? So this is why this is important, and this is why I really want people to pray for Cardinal Zen, that he will continue to fight for his flock, and so that, the church in China is being persecuted right now. If you're 18 years or younger, you can't even go into the church. So the underground church really, I think, has been betrayed. And this isn't the first time this happened, Father Charles. You remember in Mexico, you know the history, you've written books on this. When the revolution was going on, can you tell our folks about the time where the Holy See told the Mexican guys that were fighting against the Masons and against the revolution to put their arms down? And what happened to them, Father?
The Vatican got into a dialogue and an agreement with the Freemasonic government of Mexico after the Civil War.
Yeah.
And the government said, in essence, yes, we'll behave now after all these wars of civil war and all the deaths and corruption or horrible situations. We'll behave now.
Mm-hmm.
And let just tell your soldiers, your Catholic soldiers, your Christian soldiers, to drop their arms, to put their arms down.
Sure.
Well, the order came from the Vatican through the papal nuncio that they were to put their arms down. Mm-hmm. Every one of those men who laid down his arms for peace that was promised by the Freemason government was executed.
Slaughtered.
We're talking about thousands.
Yeah.
Thousands.
I heard 5,000 men.
Were all executed, right down to the last man. I don't know anyone who survived that. That was their payment from the Freemasons. There's something too, Terry.
What's that?
You don't have to go to Mexico to look at this.
Okay.
You can go right back to China to look at it. In my book, I'm not advertising my book.
No, but I want you people to know about it.
One of the books that I wrote, The Godmother,
yes,
there's a chapter about the first Chinese cardinal ever made.
Tell us.
He was made by Pope Pius the 12th. I believe in 1954. I might be wrong. I don't have it in front of me.
That's your memory. Okay,
but,
go ahead.
But anyway, he was the first Oriental cardinal made. And this was a big deal. And Pius wanted this. Pope Pius wanted the internationalization of the body of cardinals. He wanted more representation in that rather than the traditional Italian bloc.
Yeah.
Well, he named this man cardinal, Archbishop Cardinal of what was used to be called Peking. I don't know when they changed the name to Beijing, but it was Peking then. And when the communist revolution took place,
49,
he escaped.
Wow.
This cardinal escaped with his life and showed up at the Vatican.
Really?
All right.
Yeah.
He showed up at the Vatican. I know this from Mother Pasqualina.
But you got to tell this story. Go ahead.
Pius XII, secretary for 42 years. All right.
Yeah.
She told me this herself.
I love this
story.
This
man showed up at the Portone di Bronze, the bronze doors in the Vatican, wanting to see the Pope.
Mm-hmm.
And Pope Pius XII sent Mother Pasqualina down to deliver the following message.
Okay.
Imagine this.
Yeah, this is great. Yeah.
He said, and Mother Pasqualina, this nun, German nun, went down, received him downstairs and said, the Holy Father refuses to receive you an audience. He would like to know what you're doing here. Right?
Yeah.
Like to know what you're doing here, why you aren't in prison in Peking, or why you haven't shed your blood already for the faith, because that's what you promised to do. That's what you promised to do by taking on the red. That's the color you wear. And it's that you gave your promise to shed your blood to protect the faith. The Holy Father would like to know what you're doing here.
Awesome. What a great story.
All right. Now, you take that and compare that to what's happening today.
Well said.
You have to come up with the word, as the good cardinal himself used it quite strongly, but diplomatically.
Yeah.
Betrayal is the word.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yes.
Yep. Wow. Father Murr, that story burned in my memory when you told me that, and I know our listeners are going to never forget that story because, again, this is our situation today. But, Father, I'm going to shift gears with you, if you don't mind now. And this is the topic that St. Thomas Aquinas has given us a lot on with about what is love. And we're talking about falling out of love and how to fall back into love. Tell us about, first of all, give us a definition. I know St. Thomas of what love is. Can you kind of set that first and what fake? In other words, what's the difference between true love and fake love?
Oh, is that all you want to know?
Just simple question. I love it.
Listen, yeah. Oh, that's simple, eh?
Yeah, just give us a quickie.
Before I do.
Be like Sheen.
I want to tell you just a short story that I thought was great.
Well, go ahead. Yeah, let's do it.
It's by a man who's who's fallen quite a bit out of grace, Bill Cosby.
Oh, yeah.
Who used to be one of my favorites.
Oh, I remember watching him as a kid. Sure.
Bill Cosby, when he was about to get married to his wife, Carmel.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Catholic, they were about to get married, and he said he was so nervous because he wasn't understanding what love and marriage were about.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't really sure that he was in love and that marriage was the way. He wasn't sure. So he said, I went to see my father, and I asked him to explain what love and marriage was about. And he said, and my father said, I'm not exactly sure. Go talk to your uncle. He gave him the name of an uncle.
Okay.
He said he would know better than I. And he said, Bill Cosby said, and I went and talked to my uncle, sat down with him, and I asked him, Uncle, what is love and marriage all about? He said, you don't want to hear my impression of it. And Bill Cosby, still searching, went and talked to one of his best friends. And he said, I'm looking for the answer. What is love and marriage all about? The friend said, I have no idea. And I've been in love and married for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Cosby ends the whole thing. He said, and you know, the only one who was able to tell me what love and marriage were all about was the Catholic priest who had never been in love and was never married.
That's a great story.
He was the only expert on the subject.
I love
anyway,
it.
I'm going to be the expert on the subject.
Well, you know, Father Bishop Sheen wrote a book, Three to Get Married, and he talks about it. And I laugh because people say, what would a priest know about love? A whole lot. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk to Father Charles Murr about that issue of falling out of love and how to fall back into love. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse's on his way in to be here for the Spiritual Warfare Conference. If you still want to come, there's room for you. Call 877-526-2151. I'll repeat it, 877-526-2151. More when we come back with Father Charles Murr about true love.
Welcome to our January 11th, 2020 Spiritual Warfare Conference. Every year without fail, this is our most popular, well-attended event. This year's Spiritual Warfare Conference will host Adam Bly, a Catholic demonologist, and an auxiliary member of the International Association of Exorcists, along with Dr. Luis Sandoval, a psychiatrist who's part of the Healing, Deliverance, and Exorcism team for the Diocese of Orange. These two gentlemen bring tons of experience and expertise in the area of spiritual warfare. This is going to be a high-information Catholic seminar. I'll be there as well, sharing some riveting stories on the diabolical and liberation found through Jesus Christ from my best-selling book, The Devil and the City of Angels. Mark your calendars, come and join us, and meet other radio hosts from Jesus 911. Contrary to popular belief, spiritual warfare is not demon-centered, it's Christ-centered. Come join us and learn how to armor up and fight the good fight of faith. Catholics, wake up. Don't hit the snooze button. Join us at St. Christopher Catholic Church, 629 South Glendora Avenue, West Covina, California, on January 11, 2020. See you then. Strength and honor in Jesus' name.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse's on Interstate 10 driving to California for the Spiritual Warfare Conference. I can't wait to meet all of you. There's over 500 people, looks like, that are coming to the Spiritual Warfare Conference, but there's room for you. So if you still want to come, it's not too late to call 877-526-2151. I have my good friend Father Charles Murr on the line, and we're talking about true love, you know, falling out of love and how to fall back into love. And Father just gave a great story of Bill Cosby about, you know, can someone tell me about true love and marriage? And he asked everybody, and then he found out that a Catholic celibate priest could give him more information on that than all of his married uncles and aunts. Father Murr, tell us a little bit about what is true love and why true love is real love and what the world has to offer many times is fake love.
Oh, wow. First of all, you tell me, how much time do we have?
We got 30 minutes left of the show, and I would say this, be like Bishop Sheen and be concise.
I'm going to be as concise as I can, Terry. God love you.
Thank you, my friend.
Let's agree on this, and this is important. There are different types of love, okay? There's marital love. There's the love of friendship. There's the love that fathers and sons have, mothers and daughters, all of this. There's the love of friendship.
Yeah.
All of these are different kinds of love. And if you may I recommend a great book?
Sure, we need that.
C.S. Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
The Four Loves.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful,
mm-hmm.
beautiful book. And he explains these four different kinds of love. This is very important because especially the American mind,
yeah,
has only one word for love. We use this, I love God, I love you, I love art, I love hot dogs.
Right.
All right. Now, you can see by the gamut there that there's quite a range, a difference.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
So let's talk about human love. Let's talk about the love between a man and a woman.
Sure.
Right, let's go into this because I think most of your listeners are,
that's right,
are married,
yep,
or are thinking about it or have children who are married and are trying to figure this out.
Yep.
First of all, love has to begin with a spark. Mm. There has to be a spark, right? And that spark has to be an attraction.
Mm-hmm.
You can be attracted to someone else, to the other, let's call it the other,
mm-hmm,
for any number of reasons. It doesn't have to be simply physical,
right,
but it's also physical, mm-hmm, right? It's also physical. But it can be for personality. It can be for, you can see that other person's knowledge, his intelligence or her
right.
intelligence,
right,
for different reasons. And then that spark has to be reciprocated. It has to be answered. It has to be, you have to receive an answer from it, all right? And that is the beginning. That attraction is the beginning that leads to love. Now, a lot of people, and here is our problem, especially today in modern times, a lot of people stop right there. That's it.
Yep.
That is the end of the road. That's the beginning of the road and the end of the road. And foolishly, a lot of people with just that get married.
Yep.
Or what's worse, live together.
Right.
And without a commitment whatsoever. Of course, that's doomed to die. It's going nowhere.
Right.
It's because it's simply a spark. It's not a fire. It's not a flame.
Right.
Now, that can lead later on to a deeper level, of knowing and loving. You know, in the sacred scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, I don't think ever speak of love in sexual terms.
Right.
Love is always referred to in scripture as knowledge.
Yes. I know. Yep. Right? I know not man.
Sheen speaks about this beautifully.
Yeah.
Adam knew Eve.
Right.
Mary, the Blessed Virgin Mary, did not know man.
Exactly.
Okay. So this idea of knowledge, well, that's very important knowledge. You have to know the other.
Sure.
You have to know the other. My grandmother told me when I was only 15 or 16 years old and starting to date, she said, when you're thinking of marriage, remember to know the person you're thinking about marrying for four seasons.
Wow.
Right? She said, remember, there are four seasons for a reason.
Yes.
Know that person for, and she wasn't just talking about four seasons.
Great advice.
She was talking about a length of time,
sure,
and a number of experiences, to go through a number of experiences with that person.
Right.
Right. And to grow together.
Yeah.
So anyway, falling in love, I think, is not a hard thing for a lot of people to understand. We've all fallen in love.
Sure.
We've all found a person to whom we are attracted. And God willing, that person answered back, and we began a friendship, a romantic love, and so forth, right?
Yeah.
That's the easy part.
Father, can I jump in?
Here's what
I just want to jump in. When you were talking like that, you made me think of what Fulton Sheen said in Three to Get Married. He said to the men and to the women, he said, your love will not last because you're tough or, you know, you just love each other. Your love will last because you have the power to renew it. And the way Bishop Sheen said in the Three to Get Married was that couples should renew their marriage vows often. So I go around the country when I give talks on this topic. I tell couples, don't wait for your 25th or your 50th anniversary to renew your vows. Do it on a regular basis, because it's easy to fall out of love in our culture. And it's more difficult to fall back in love. And you need to be able to recommit yourself to your spouse, and no better way is to go back and renew your vows. So I just wanted to throw that in now. That just made me, while you were talking, it made me think of Fulton Sheen's point about falling in love and how to stay in love. So continue, please.
You know, also, Terry, you're beautiful. That's beautiful, and that's absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
There's also something else. Not on a daily basis do you have to renew your vows.
Get that.
Right? But and you're talking about a formal renewal of vows that's beautiful should happen from time to time.
Yeah.
But on it also should happen daily. Now let me do this.
Get up in
the morning. Here's the thing. We are all made in the image and likeness of God.
Sure.
Okay?
Yep.
What does that mean? It means not that God has 10 toes and we have 10 toes and 10 fingers and we have 10 fingers. That's right. Not the image and likeness of God, right?
Right.
The image and likeness of God is this. We are all born free. Let me underscore that word, free. And another thing that Sheen hits, he's got a beautiful chapter on free love. As Sheen said, since when hasn't love been free? What are you talking about, free love? Of course love is free. This is not, what kind of a revolutionary idea is that?
Right.
And what the people who were espousing free love in the 1920s, 1930s, and so on, what they were talking about is love without commitment.
Exactly. Okay? Unbridled.
That's something else. That's something else.
Yep.
But love has to be free.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be free. You can't force someone to love you. You can't take away that person's freedom and force love.
Right.
It doesn't happen that way. All right. Now, the thing is that God is free and we are born children of God to be free. Right. We have freedom. Why are we free? And this is very important to understand. And it sounds like I'm contradicting myself.
Okay.
I'm going to be very careful how I say it.
All right.
Right? You are free. God has given you freedom. God has shared his own nature, which is free,
mm-hmm,
with you, so not to be free.
Exactly.
Now, let me explain that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Freedom is the cost of love. Love costs something, right? Everything that's of value in life, everything costs something. Mm-hmm. Don't kid yourself. No such thing as a free lunch. You know that.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Nothing is free. Nothing is free. And the greater the value of anything, the more the cost. Love also has a price, if you will. And that price is your freedom. Fidelity, when we talk about fidelity between husband and wife, what we're talking about is the husband gives over his freedom to his wife.
That's right.
She turns over her freedom to her husband.
Yep.
This is beautiful. And this is what is called equality, right?
That's right. Beautiful.
I worked for years in Mexico and dealt an awful lot, even in New York and different places with Latinos, with South Americans.
Mm-hmm.
There is a cultural problem that some of them have. We have it also in the United States. We just don't recognize it, called machismo.
Right.
Right. And what is machismo? Machismo is the husband saying to the wife, give me your freedom and I'm going to keep mine. In other words, what's yours is mine and what's mine is mine.
Mm-hmm.
That's machismo. That doesn't work.
Oh.
Right. So all of us have this freedom. And the reason we have it, this is what we're going to use in the process of loving. We're going to give that away to somebody we're committing to. Now, this is also lacking today.
Big time.
People don't give up their freedom. They don't. They hold on to it. That's why they don't want to get married.
No, you nailed it.
Me,
yeah.
For the life of me, I cannot understand especially any woman. I don't. Men, it's a different thing. That's a topic for another show, right?
Mm-hmm, sure.
I cannot understand any woman who really has an innate understanding of love, because she's a co-creator with God of life. This is fantastic. Well, the dignity and knowledge that she shares, and she knows.
Sure.
She should know better than to accept someone who cannot commit to her. She should know better. So should men know better. And I think we're all fooling ourselves to call this free love, and this is wonderful. It's not wonderful. It's not wonderful. There's no commitment.
Well said.
Now, getting back to something you said, Terry, that I think is very important. You're talking about we should renew.
Yeah.
We should renew our vows of love. There is a way to renew your vow of love every day.
All right. Well, we're going to hear that when we come back. We got a commercial right now, Father. When we come back, we want to know how to renew your love every day. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Murr's sharing his love for love. We'll be right back. This is Terry Barber, and Myra Brown is with me. Myra, welcome.
Hi, Terry. I am so happy to be here with you today because I am up to something that I think you'll find very interesting.
Tell me, what is it, Myra?
Well, I want to give away a DVD, your famous 3-hour talk about how to share your faith with everyone. And do you know how I'm going to do it?
Tell me.
Well, me and my friend Annie Jo are calling everybody to talk about monthly donations, because that is how we keep this station alive.
Absolutely.
And so every person that answers either our email or answers our phone call will get that talk.
And they can get it by calling 877-526-2151. And just tell us how you heard about it, because I really am excited about Myra's project, because we want to have Virgin Most Powerful in every state in the union.
Yep, and we're going to do it with your help. So answer the phone call, answer that email, and I look forward to getting your prayer intention then.
God love you.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Matt Arnold just pulled in. He's up next. He's on deck. And his show, he's laughing at me right now, but you won't want to miss it. He's now giving me a A-OK sign. So Matt Arnold's show is up right after the Terry and Jesse Show. I have Father Charles Murr. Father Charles Murr was saying, before the break, he was saying to us, I can share with you how to renew that love on a daily basis. Father, it's back to you. I want to hear how I can do that.
Well, I'm glad you asked.
I am too, brother. Okay.
Here's the deal.
Yeah,
After two people
make
a commitment of fidelity to each other,
man,
after two people exchange their personal freedom.
Yeah.
Okay? That's what you're doing. And I hold your freedom, you hold my freedom. All right? It's now yours. Mm-hmm. There's a curious thing that happens after you've made that vow, even in fidelity and marriage, the sacrament of marriage, all solemn. You remain free.
Yep.
Okay?
Okay.
You still remain free, even though you've given your freedom away. When I walk away from my wife in the morning, and I'm assaulted by all sorts of temptations during the day, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm free to fall. I'm free to give in to all of those things.
Right.
Any temptation. The fact that I don't, or the fact that I refuse that, gives energy to my love and proves my love and renews my love daily.
Wow.
Okay.
Father, can I interrupt you? This is good stuff. Keep going. I'm loving it. Go ahead.
I'm going to try to be quick on this, but I'm going to give you an example, and I hope it's clear.
I bet it is.
I won't say where, when, who, what, or anything else. I was assigned to a 25th anniversary mass. All right.
Yep.
I didn't know who the people were getting married. I was at a parish. They said, you've got the mass, and it's for 25th anniversary, blah,
great,
blah. Good. I'm in the sacristy vesting for mass.
Sure.
A man comes in and says, I'm the husband of this 25-year marriage. Oh, that's wonderful. Great. He said, I think I should go to confession, but I really don't have anything to confess.
Hmm.
I said, wow. I said, may I ask how long it's been since your last confession? 25 years.
Oh, gosh.
And I looked at him, and you don't want your jaw to drop right then.
No, you got to be good.
Sure. I said, you mean to tell me, if I'm understanding this, that in 25 years, you haven't committed a sin? Is that what you're telling me? He said, well, yeah, that's what I'm telling you. I have nothing to confess. And so I'm trying to help him because, if he has nothing to confess, I can't give him absolution.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes, so, of course.
First of all, I'm not that stupid to believe that somebody went 25 years without committing a sin. I can't go from today to tomorrow.
Exactly.
Without committing a series of sins. All right. So I said, okay. I said, how about this? No, haven't done that. I said, have you made mass every holy day of obligation? Yep. My God, and I'm running out of ideas. I said, well, Have you remained faithful to your wife in 25? Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I said, well, have you ever had a temptation? Have you ever had a temptation?
You're really pulling.
I'm looking hard.
I know.
I'm looking hard to forgive. I said, have you ever had a temptation about another woman?
Yeah.
And he looked right at me and said, absolutely not. And then I knew. I said, listen, either there's something wrong with you, or you're lying to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the two things.
Right.
Because it's impossible. It's impossible. I'm sorry, but it's impossible. He said, if it's true that you've never had a temptation about with another woman of being unfaithful to your wife, never tell that to your wife. And he said, what are you talking about? I should think she'd be very proud of me. And I said, to the contrary, my friend. She'd be almost ashamed, because what you're telling her with that is that you've remained faithful to her for 25 years straight because nothing else has occurred to you.
I get it.
Right?
Yes.
Well, all right, you get it?
Yes,
well,
testing.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Because there are temptations.
Of course.
Because we can fall. Because we can be unfaithful.
Yeah.
And we are not. That's the proof, daily proof
yeah.
of our love for one another. And that strengthens love.
Of course. And Bishop Sheen said it this way, Father. The only value in saying yes to God is you have the freedom to say no. Every single day, all of us have temptations, and we constantly have to choose God and choose the good.
Do you see right off how Bishop Sheen puts it much better? Say that again.
Bishop Sheen says the only value in saying yes to God is you have the freedom to say no. It's free will. And, you know, this idea that you don't have choice in your life every day. Every day I make a choice to love my wife. Every day.
That's right.
So continue, Father. We got about 4 minutes.
And Terry, yeah. something that's even more difficult. Every day she has a choice to love you.
Yeah. Well said. Father, let me just ask this. I know you've dealt with a lot of young couples that are married, and we know that St. John Paul II wrote a letter to families in 1994 when he said, the way the family goes is the way the culture goes. What advice would you give couples, I don't care if they've been married 50 years or 1 year, what advice would you give to them to stay married and to stay in love with their spouse? Big question.
Great question. This might sound corny.
Yeah, go ahead.
But I would encourage them
yeah.
to read a little bit about love. Mm. To read a little bit about what love is. You couldn't have a better author to guide you in that reading than Fulton Sheen. I'm serious.
I agree.
The three to get married
oh, yeah.
is beautiful. You know what? Here's something that's fantastic, and I don't think that most parents mm-hmm. or most people in love understand this. Every religion in the world, sooner or later, comes to the conclusion that God is love. Okay?
Yep.
And they also come to the conclusion sooner or later in their own evolution that there is only one God. Okay? Even the Muslims, Buddhists, it doesn't matter. They all come to this conclusion. They come to the conclusion that the Jews and Christianity have had from very beginning. The others get to this point.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. If there's only one God, and that God is love, how can that be possible? If we know by our human experience that to love requires two people. It requires two persons.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just, if you would say to me, Terry, you know what, Father? I love. Well, my question is, who?
Yeah.
What do you mean, you love? Who do you love? There has to be an object of your love. Who do you love?
Exactly.
Well, if love in its highest state is between two equals,
yeah.
and this is why Christ gave this dignity to women and to men. The same dignity that men had in this, he gave to women when he said, only one woman to one man.
Amen.
That's it. Not five women to one man, not 25. No. One and one. They're equals. Well, God would necessarily, if he created us, and there's something about God that we can discover in looking at human love, we can understand something about divine love.
Right.
God would necessarily need another God.
Sure.
To be able to love.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Well, we know that's impossible.
Right.
Only the only solution to this whole thing is what the reality is of the Blessed Trinity.
Yep.
That in himself, in and of himself God loves. It's an action. Love is not a noun. It's not a thing. It's an action.
Yep.
And here's the thing, that when you have a man and a woman who love each other, and they have a child, and I think a lot of parents don't look at the child this way, but they ought to. That child is the walking, talking love between two people.
Wow, beautiful.
Become a third person.
Yep.
Okay? When you see your child, every husband, every father, and every mother should look at that child and say, my God, there goes the miracle of the love between my husband and myself, or my wife and myself. There it is, walking and talking and maturing, so that he or that child later on can continue this loving effect in the world. This is fantastic.
It is, Father.
Trinity. What do we say?
Trinitarian life.
The Holy Ghost who proceeds from the Father and the Son, right?
Yep. Well said.
Anyway.
Father, thank you for sharing all those insights. I'm going to ask you a tough question at the end of the show. You know what it's going to be, what state you should be living in. But I want to remind all of our listeners about the five stones of David and how he took care of Goliath. When our five stones of living a holy life is read the Bible every day, get the confession at least once a month, go to Mass as often as possible, pray that rosary, go to First Friday devotions, First Saturdays. And also, don't forget what Our Lady said, that souls are going to hell because no one is there to pray and make sacrifices. You could be part of Team Jesus by just fulfilling your duties and your state in life. Father Murr, I'm going to ask you the question now. What state should we be living in, my friend?
State of sanctifying grace.
Oh, did you notice he said sanctifying grace? Boy, is he precise.
That's
I
right.
love it. And Father, what state shouldn't
That's
we be living in?
We should never be living in a state of mortal sin.
Amen to
never,
that. And if
ever.
We are in mortal
and that's
sin,
why, and that's why we have confessionals.
Exactly.
But I'm going to remind your
Tell
listeners
me.
Through those confessionals are empty.
Yeah, I know you're right,
the minds
Father.
Minds are non-existent.
Yeah,
you can get right in.
Well, remember what Bishop Sheen said. Too many people think that that we have an immaculate conception, that we don't have sin in our world anymore, and unfortunately. You know, whatever happened to sin, well, we've lost it, and we need to bring it back so that people know how to fall deep in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. Father Charles Murr, can you give us your priestly blessing, please?
Absolutely. The blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost descend upon you and remain forever.
Amen.
God love you.
Thanks,
Thank
Father.
You.
We'll Thank see you another time. Folks, you've still got time to join us at the Spiritual Warfare Conference for tomorrow. Call 877-526-2151. We can squeeze you in. We got a big church. This is happening tomorrow morning at St. Christopher's. Call 877-526-2151. Up next is Matt Arnold. I just want to also thank all of our listeners. We're coming up on our second anniversary for Virgin Most Powerful. And we know we couldn't have done it without you, our listener and our supporter. Thank you, thank you, and thank you. And may God richly bless you and your family. And here at Virgin Most Powerful, clarity with charity, and we always like to say full sheen ahead here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. May God bless you and your family.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O Divine and Great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of Thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For Thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.